just sit right back and you'll hear a tale of a fateful trip.
In the year 1831, biologist Charles Darwin began a fateful journey on the HMS Beagle. On that journey, Darwin formulated the controversial theory of evolution, which has impacted society down to this day.
Our goal is to punch holes in that theory, so we'd like to welcome you to
Sink the Beagle.
Fire one, Captain!
Way to go, Stan. That is very good. Very good.
Why, thank you. Not a bad shot. We'd like to send by torpedo the boat HMS Richard.
HMS.
Let's start it over. Can we start? Okay, we're going to take two. Take two. We're still rolling tape. Take two. Pause.
Pause. Rewind. Way to go, Stan. Nice shot.
Why, thank you. It's good to sink the HMS Beagle down with its semi-precious cargo of Charles Darwin. I'm Stan Hudson.
And I'm John Kurlinski. Welcome you to Sink the Beagle, where we take a lighthearted look at the serious issues of evolution and creation because we know no other way.
That's exactly right. And we do like to have fun, and we do like to, shall we say, poke at Charles Darwin. Last time on Sink the Beagle, actually, we did spend some time talking about Charles Darwin and his
social
beliefs.
We weren't so much poking him. We'd like to throw a shovel of dirt on him and bury his idea. It's not so much burying him as it is the consequences of what he hath wrought.
Yes, and in some ways, he kind of is the arch nemesis of creationists. But today, we'd like to talk about not the arch nemesis, but actually some friends, some organizations that maybe you, listener, can check out maybe on the internet or be able to attend some programs and see if you can find more information on modern research and some of the cutting edge stuff in creationism.
And we don't necessarily agree 100% with all of these people, but they generally have some good arguments, or at least they're worthy of a hearing in many of the things. And some of them are very scholarly articles and very scientific articles.
To be perfectly frank, it's rare to find people with the intelligence of John and I to be able to agree with us on all points, but we're still looking for them. We'll find a few that hit on a few cylinders. So
they hit us over the head of the few cylinders, too.
Yes.
We thank the Lord for people who have given their life to honest search for truth, and we stand on their shoulders. Actually,
absolutely,
we kind of stand off in the distance, shouting and yelling and talking. But no,
and
they give us some good stuff to share with you.
And we would be embarrassed to not say that there's a fairly high number of old Sink the Beagles we've done based on some of their work and research. Okay, now let's talk about them. Some months ago, we did a Sink the Beagle on intelligent design and who is behind that and some of the key people. Intelligent design is a movement. There's quite a movement there. And
just some general names, Stan, just to throw out before you get organizations.
Sure, sure.
You have people like Moreland. Uh-huh. You have people like Mitchell. You have people like the bigger hitters that are more familiar to people like Behe and Philip E. Johnson.
Philip Johnson,
Jonathan
the lawyer.
Jonathan Wells is the one we referred to a few
weeks
ago.
Jonathan Wells. These are fabulous intellects. Stephen Meyer, one of the originators of it. These people are brilliant. They tend to be scientists and they tend to be deep thinkers, but mostly they could probably be understood as critics of Darwinism.
Yes.
And that would be where we'll put them in
that
category.
Those are more ID people as well. Those are ID people. And
intelligent design.
Intelligent design.
Yeah. Right.
Which is kind of a loose group in the sense that they aren't all united under one organizing banner, but they are organized under one principle
of
design.
And people seem to forget this, that many of them, if not most of them, certainly the ones we just talked about, are not short-age Bible-believing creationists
in the sense that they believe the radiometric dating and long age.
In some cases, they believe in theistic evolution, but they'll believe that God was behind it, not random chance. What are the chances, kind of thing? Some of them are mathematicians, and intelligent
lawyers.
Design is almost intelligent design is almost based on math. In other words, what are the chances of these things happening without God designing, the process? But now let's talk about those that we would consider to be creationists in the classical sense. In other words, those who believe in short age, 6-day creation, that the Bible's stories in Genesis are believed to be historical and actually made quite a ministry in trying to promote those things.
Yeah, and you have basically two major organizations that come to our mind are the Institute for Creation Research, or abbreviation
which
is
older,
ICR.
Which is an older group, right?
And older group.
And they're in San Diego, and the founder was Henry Morris.
Yes.
Henry Morris was influenced by an even earlier creationist, among
George
other things.
George McCready Price.
George McCready Price, who was a Seventh-day Adventist, who was probably the first one who went around publicly trying to debate evolution issues on the basis of science.
Yes.
And he tried to point out science problems with the theory of evolution. And he wrote books and he spoke publicly and he influenced a young Henry Morris. And Henry Morris eventually wrote the Genesis Flood and other classic books that really started in a lot of ways the beginning of the modern creationist movement.
Yeah. And ICR is actually made up primarily of scientists, not all of them, diverse fields who continually try to do research and studies and write scientific papers to support the theory of creation and a six-day. Now, they are six-day – they have their own personal – the organizational umbrella is a creationist, but it's short-age not only for the Earth but for the universe itself.
And that is where John and I disagree with them, and it's a major point because some of the people in their organizations will look at people who believe as us and kind of actually think of us as liberals and not Bible-believing in the sense, remember, the Fourth Commandment says, in 6 days the Lord made the heavens and the earth, and they would take that quite literally.
The Hashemayim heavens being the whole universe and every possible heaven.
Every possible corner where we think that the word Hashemayim or the heavens can refer to areas closer to the earth, may include stars around the earth, but probably not way beyond our solar system.
The Hebrew concept of universe, as we understand it today, was not necessarily in the same mind as the Hebrew. They had multiple heavens in a sense, too.
Well, when God is said to say in Revelation that he creates new heavens and a new earth, is that meaning that God at that moment is including all the starry heavens, every single galaxy out there, the 15 billion or 20 billion that have been estimated right now, is God recreating all those billions of galaxies after he deals with Earth?
Yeah.
And it doesn't seem like it. It's probably something smaller in that category.
We
disagree with that.
We agree with 6 days.
Yes.
And we agree for life, probably our solar system, or depending on some variation of it, depends if you believe that he created the sun and the moon on the fourth day or whether he
revealed them. Yeah.
But the point is that we believe that God probably were creating, and in at least I vary back where people say, they ask me in my classes that I teach, do you believe in six literal days? I said, no, I don't believe in six literal days for the universe. I could say the earth itself. I could say life itself. Life for sure.
Yep.
Or I could say even maybe our solar system, but I don't know.
Yeah.
And so I say, but it doesn't mean that
I
still basically believe in Genesis record. And
it's being historical.
And we would basically read from verse 3 on pretty much the same.
Yes.
I would vary because Genesis on the fourth day, you know, it happens to say he made the stars also. It's a parenthetical phrase in the Hebrew. It means that they may have existed. Some of the stars or some aspect of the universe may have existed before the creation week of our earth and life as we know it.
Yes. And the Bible is clear in other places that God did create the stars and therefore the galaxies
we don't,
and so
we don't
on.
Deny him as the creator of the stars.
No,
we don't
bang.
Believe in a big bang.
No.
We just happen to have a nuance which they don't share, and they accuse us as being sometimes long ages or liberals when
when that kind of comment hurts.
Yeah.
Ouch.
But having said all that,
okay.
They write ICR has many good studies and articles.
Yes.
That help support the idea
of
creation in the scriptural account.
Yes, and their writers and their research has been very helpful and very much a blessing to John and I, and will continue to be so. The second group is actually now, even though it's younger, is actually better known for its larger and has probably a greater impact in this area, and that is the group called Answers in Genesis.
And its primary speaker is Ken Ham.
Ken Ham, who used to be at ICR and came out of there and headed up this young creationism movement and ministry, and they are far and away, at least in my opinion, now the real movers and shakers in creationism.
What they do, I think, which Ken Ham and his group do, is they make it much more understandable to the average person.
Yes, to the layman.
To the layperson.
Yes.
Where ICR tends to stay much more on the technical side and try to appeal to scientists.
Yes, white collar.
Answers in Genesis, AIG, tends to go for anybody and everybody who will listen.
And if there's a push or a package in which they push their material, it's probably in the area of, if you believe in evolutionism, these are the effects it will have on society, on you personally and mm-hmm. so on, and the damaging effects. And so what they worry about especially is that, and they believe the devil, of course, and we agree, the devil has kind of substituted evolutionism as the popular belief for origins now, that that has a terrible effect on the morality.
Society.
Oh, and just drags everything down and makes of little use the cross and so forth, the great truths of Christianity.
And they're a little more, I'd say, evangelical or maybe even more fundamental
yes.
in their approach.
Yes.
They would actually support very strongly to creationism taught in schools. They push a lot of the
yes,
court cases.
I think
so do ID people.
And they have some political agenda, so to speak, but they want to push these ideas in the public arena, and I don't see any reason why they can't, just like any other group. The thing that we could say about Answers to Genesis, as you mentioned, Ken Ham, who is an Australian high school science teacher, basically is the leader, and he is, I think, a very dynamic and interesting speaker. I love
yes.
to hear him talk. You and I, John, have been to conventions and heard him and other speakers and Answers in Genesis, and they do a very good job. And I've gotten quite a bit thinner in the wallet over the years by visiting some of their resources and
yeah.
and coming home with DVDs and so forth to some of their speakers. And their speakers are very good. And I would encourage people to look on the internet at Answers in Genesis with the provisos that we just mentioned, and get acquainted with some of their ministry and their materials. And I think for the most part, you really can't go wrong with just a very good selection of books and DVDs and everything.
Yeah.
Good speakers, you will learn a lot.
One thing I appreciate both about ICR and to a degree Elijah Reed Kenham and Answers in Genesis is that they tend to stick with good science.
Yes.
And in contrast, there's a lot of small individual people who have their fly-by-night creationism stuff, and sometimes they bring in bad science, bad artifacts,
mm-hmm.
and those are the ones that we don't encourage because mm-hmm. I think they tear down a lot of the truth, and they try to hang your hopes on things that probably, if they've proven to be false, they make creationism in general look bad.
Look pretty silly, yes.
You know.
So with extravagant claims and so forth, whether
yes.
it's human and dinosaur footprints on the same strata and that kind of thing. We won't name names at that point. But one of the things we wanted to say about Answers in Genesis is they are creating a museum. And it's a museum that the public should take advantage of. It's going to open up in the spring of 2007.
Southeast Indiana?
Yeah, no, it's actually over on the Kentucky side.
Oh, I'm sorry.
It's kind
right
of like
across the river.
Yes, from
Ohio
Cincinnati.
River
from, and it's down in northern Kentucky. What is that? Lexington? Near Lexington, I think.
Yeah, just across the board from southern and southwest.
Yeah, it's on the loop.
Southeast Indiana
it's on the bypass. It goes around Cincinnati on the southern side, and
yeah.
it's a museum, a creationism museum. It's going to have, in fact, this summer I had a chance to get a tour. I was attending a convention there by Answers in Genesis, and they took us over and gave us a tour of where they were, and they were trying and fighting to get it ready by this spring. But they had animatronic dinosaurs in there. They had a guy that was involved with some of the great theme parks. You know, like Universal City Studios,
mm-hmm.
he did the Jaws shark thing. He's got these animated beings and so forth, and it shows dinosaurs and people living together and leading up to the flood and all these different scenes in this museum. It's quite interesting for the family. I want to encourage you to take advantage this spring.
Yeah. And one last place we obviously cannot go without mentioning is the Geoscience Institute,
mm-hmm.
which is our own institution organization in Southern California. We use them quite a bit, and
we know
quite a few of the people in Loma Linda, and they're excellent people.
Top flight scientists who know and love the Lord.
Take advantage of these when you can.
Absolutely. And Scripture says one time when Jesus was saying, that, you know, to John and James, don't keep people, just because they're not in your church, don't forbid them, because whoever is not against you is with you.
So listen again on another Sink the Beagle.
Thanks for listening to Sink the Beagle. We'd like to send you a special gift just for being with us today. Write to our email address, beagle@lifetalk.net, and ask for your free copy of Dr. Dwight Nelson's book called Built to Last, A Thoughtful Look at Creation and Evolution. Ask for Built to Last when you write to beagle@lifetalk.net. And be sure to listen in next time to another episode of Sink the Beagle.
So join us here each week, my friends. You're sure to get a smile from seven stranded castaways here on Gilligan's Island.